recordings have now been started. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna. Would you like me to do a roll call for you, Jonathan?
Excuse me, Mr. Chan just joined.
Yes.
Glenn, I think you can take a roll call off the
Adobe Connect
for the purpose of the minute.
I'll do that. And may I just add
and if you that could just call to check if anyone is on audio only.
Yeah, hi, it's Joab here. I'm still not on the Adobe, so.
Tony Holmes, I'm still joining Adobe as well. Thank you.
And Thomas Ricard is in his car, so he is not on the Adobe Connect, Jonathan. And we have apologies from Volker Greimann. His proxy is given to James Bladel. And we have apologies from Daniel Reed, whose proxy is given to David Cake. And I see David is on the line. So with that, may I just...
Thanks, Glenn. So we'll note everyone in the Adobe Connect room as present. We'll note that we've got three people on audio, and you'll record that, and you've recorded your apologies. Thanks. So welcome, everyone. Welcome to today's council meeting. Thank you for the prompt. It's the 16th of April, GNSO council meeting, and we will start by with item 1.2, having concluded the roll call, and call for any updates to statements of interest. And I see a hand up from Brett Forsyth. So go ahead, Brett.
Yes, I've updated my statement of interest. I'll put a link to it in the Adobe chat. I've updated it to indicate that Uniregistry, the company that I work for, has a non-controlling sort of investor interest in a handful of TLDs that we don't operate, including .sux. So since that is a topic of discussion these days, I wanted to make sure that people understood that.
Thanks, Brett. That's helpful and clear. So we have an agenda, and under item 1.3, there is an opportunity to review or make any comments or remarks on the agenda, including if there is anything you'd like to see added. And I note that Tony Holmes has to leave after an hour, and I also have heard from Mason that he'll need to leave after an hour, so I expect that his involvement in item 8 might encourage us to bring that forward in the agenda. Apologies about the status of the minutes. It's something that's been overlooked, and we will catch up with those, so sincere apologies that those haven't come out. Of course, the transcripts and the recordings are out, but it's just a matter of logging the minutes. We have all of us been a little stretched with various things going on, in particular work on the cross-community working group, work on the transition and accountability. So apologies, we will catch up on that. I don't have any specific opening remarks under item 2 other than that, but I do think, as is customary, we will note that there is a project list, and any councillor is welcome to comment or provide input on that, and I will briefly review the action list at this stage. So if we could have the action list up in the Adobe one, please. Thank you, Marika. So the items on this have been, we've made pretty good progress on this. We come to Buenos Aires planning later in the agenda, although not substantially, and we will pick this up in earnest after this meeting. The next items are either on hold or complete, and or to be dealt with here. Clearly, there's reports in the main agenda on both of the work, both of the CWGs, and so that keeping the council regularly informed and updated on those. And just to remind you of the purpose of that, the purpose of of that is obviously because these are important and central themes of work going on across the city at this stage. But significantly, they are both groups that are chartered by the GNSO. And as groups chartered by the GNSO, their output will ultimately come back to the GNSO for approval. In both cases, there is a requirement to do the work, or at least a perceived necessity to work at reasonable speed. And so what we don't want is for the work to be delayed by virtue of the fact that people haven't been regularly informed and are not sufficiently knowledgeable about the work. So that's the primary purpose, to ensure that the council, and through this all the GNSO, although of course other routes by which the GNSO is kept informed by the stakeholder group reps, but just making sure that this channel is properly covered. And so that's the purpose of those two action items. With respect to those other items not on hold, the issues for the SCI come up in this meeting under the consent agenda, and we'll come to those in a moment, as does the work of the expert working group. We will touch on that. I think it comes up under any other business later. We are still in a holding pattern as far as the outstanding IGO, INGO, PDP recommendations are. Some of the implementation work is going ahead there, I understand, but there's still some background work that needs to be done before we receive an update, further update from the new GTLD program committee. There's work going on the GAC communique, and we'll come to that in a main agenda item. The IDN implementation guideline work is completed. So I see that someone else has scrolled, Marika has scrolled on this, so, or is it, I don't know, perhaps you have individual scroll on this, so we're at the top of page 2 now with the outstanding IGO recommendations. Then I see it's slightly different. I think this has been updated since I have my printed copy I'm working from, and you all have scroll rights on the document. The ICANN meeting strategy is complete to the extent that we have a drafting team working on it, and we are in the process of commissioning the drafting team to work on the cross-community working group on auction proceeds. I'll draw your attention, those of you who haven't seen, there was a letter, an email note from Steve Crocker in his capacity as chairman of the ICANN board to me in my capacity as chair of the council in relation to this prospective CWG on auction proceeds. So I'd encourage you to have a look at that and express if you have any views on Steve's views in that note in relation to the prospective work on the auction proceeds. I think that does it for the action list for the moment. Clearly, we'll come back to some of these items in the main agenda. So if we could go back up to having the main agenda on the screen now. Thank you. And again, I believe you have scrolling privileges, so you should be able to go to wherever the relevant point is. Any comments or questions before we close item 2 on either the action or the project list? I went through that pretty fast, and I'm familiar with it, but let me pause and see if there's any comment or question on any of the items arising there. Seeing none, I'll move us then on to the item 3, which is the consent agenda. Under the consent agenda, we have effectively put in 2 motions, which from memory were presented to the council by Avery. I believe it was Avery who presented those. But in any event, we discussed them in some detail at the previous meeting. Thanks, Avery, for confirming that. And these are essentially 2 procedural changes that we have asked the Standing Committee on Improvement and Implementation to review and come back to the Council with some recommendations. As items on the consent agenda, we they're typically given taken as read, and given that we discussed them at the previous Council meeting, that seems appropriate. So it's likely we will go straight to vote on the consent agenda unless anyone has any comments at this stage and or has an objection to these two items being on the consent agenda. I'll pause now to check if that is the case. Well, I'll take it that that means there are no comments or issues, which is perhaps unsurprising, but feel free to, you know, I don't want to bundle us through this agenda without people having the opportunity to speak, but it stands to reason that there is, that this is okay. So, Glenn, we will now call for a voice vote to deal with the consent agenda, and in so doing, I will first call for anyone who would like to vote against the consent agenda. Anyone who is voting against the consent agenda, please make yourself be known now. Anyone who would like to abstain from voting on these items on the consent agenda, please make yourself known now. So, Glenn, in the absence of any no votes or abstentions, if you could please record that everyone present is in favour of the consent agenda as it stands, and that includes Amma Elsader, who joined us a couple of minutes into the call. So if you could record him as both present and as in so being as one of those in favour of the motion.
Thank you, Jonathan. I will.
Good. Item 4 was an item we also discussed at the previous council meeting, and this is a motion to amend the charter of the IGO-INGO group working on curative rights protection mechanisms. And the access of the IGOs and INGOs to those curative rights protection mechanisms. And there was a discussion at the previous meeting about the prospect of amending the motion and of amending the charter, and this motion has duly come forward to us at this meeting to do that, and it's proposed by Susan. Susan, I'll give you first opportunity to just discuss or remind us of any aspects of the motion you'd like to, and if you'd like to refer to your seconder or to Phil Corwin or indeed to Mary Wong from staff, please feel free to do so, since I know Mary's done some good work in supporting you on this.
I, as the liaison to the working group, I did propose this, but I'm going to defer to Phil because he's actually vice chair of the group, so he would have better background information, or Mary.
Yeah, Phil here, happy to step in, and good morning all, or whatever time of day it may be for you. The purpose of this motion is simply to give the working group on curative rights protection for IGOs some greater flexibility in the scope of our final recommendations. This results from a determination by the working group that only those IGOs which have exercised their option to notify the World Intellectual Property Organization that they wish to protect their names and possibly their acronyms under Article 6 tier of the Paris Convention should have standing for whatever final process we recommend. The original motion would have bound us to a broader list. This gives us more flexibility. As I said, it does not deprive any IGO of potential access to curative rights process, whether it's some amended form of UDRP or URS or some new process, simply requires that they do that, take that step of notifying WIPO. So I'd be happy to take any questions, but that's the basic intent of the council. And my co-chair, Petter Renforth, and I worked with Mary Wong on the language of the amendment and believe it does the job.
Thank you, Phil. Any questions, comments, or issues arising for Phil in respect to this motion and the intention and issues underlying? Amar, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thank you, Phil. I was just curious if there was any concern raised by members of the PDP working group on changing the charter. I guess it would be good to know right now. Thanks.
Are you asking if there are any concerns from within our working group about this change?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
No, there were none. All the members of the working group are supportive of this amendment. We've heard no objections from anyone.
Well, good point. Thanks, Samo. That's useful to know that it's coming effectively then.
Yes. Yeah, and it was discussed on a working group call. All the members of the working group had opportunity to review and comment on this language.
I will note there was some in the registry stakeholder group, of which I'm obviously a member, there was some discussion of this and there was some initial concern. And then Mary was very helpful in providing clarifying information such that she had already done to the council and expanding on that a little, and those concerns were allayed via that expansion. So that's a little bit of background from a registry stakeholder group point of view. Well, I think without any further comments or issues, I guess for the record it would be useful, Susan, to just capture the resolved clauses on the audio, and then we will put it to vote. So if you could read out the resolved clause, that would be great.
One, the GNSO Council approves the request from the working group to amend its charter as follows, where under mission and scope, the current charter reads, for purposes of this PDP, the scope of IGO and INGO identifiers is to be limited to those identifiers previously listed by the GNSO's PDPWG on the protection of international organization identifiers in all GTLDs as protected by their consensus recommendations designated by that working group as Scope 1 and Scope 2 identifiers and listed in Annex 2 of the final issue report. It is hereby amended to read, for purposes of this PDP, the working group shall take into account any criteria for IGO or INGO protection that may be appropriate, including any that may have been developed previously, such as the list of IGO and INGO identifiers that was used by the GNSO's prior PDP working group on the protection of international organization identifiers in all GTLDs as the basis for their consensus recommendations and the GAC list of IGOs as provided to ICANN in March 2013.
Thank you, Susan. Are there any objections to a voice vote? All right. Would anyone like to abstain from voting on the motion? Would anyone like to vote no to the motion? So So seeing that there are no abstentions and no votes, then could you record again that everyone present is in favor of the motion as previously?
I will do that, Jonathan, including the two people who have proxies. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you. All right. I think at this point we will probably introduce item... I'm not sure if... Thomas, can you just let me know if you have any time constraints as well? Because if you do, we deal with item... six in earlier order. If not, I'm going to bring probably item 8, 8, 5, 6. So, Thomas, could you let me know if you've got any time constraints here?
No, I'm available. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Under those circumstances, then, we will bring forward item 8, which is to deal with the progress of the work on the GNSO Council template for feedback on the GAC communique or communiques. So item 8 next, please. And in order to provide us with an update, this has been the work of a small group initiated by Volker, who is not present today, and assisted by David Cake and Carlos Gutierrez. So, David or Carlos, are either of you in a position to give us an update as to where we are at the moment?
Yes, Carlos. Jonathan.
Go ahead.
It's very short. We had a binary question on the table here. If there is any action ongoing or existing. And based on this question, if there is an ongoing action by the GNSO, my recommendation was to ask the chair of the respective PDP or working group to comment. And if there is an existing policy on the issue, to ask staff to prepare a sentence, as simple as that, just to make some progress in this discussion of the table. I don't know if I made myself clear. Hello?
Hi, Carlos. I heard you. Could you refer to where you are on the review of the communique? Because I think we just need a little bit of background here as well to just orient us. So, you sort of prepared a process here that's effectively in draft. We agreed that we would have a look at the Singapore GAC communique and run that through the process.
Exactly.
And then, so this is really the Singapore GAC communique being run through that process as, in effect, a form of test. So if you could clarify where we are with that, that would be helpful.
We took it apart through this table that you can see here on the screen, and we worked the third column, issue by issue, reaffirming if it was related to GNSO work or not. So we filled the third column, yes or no, and we didn't make any progress after that. So my suggestion was to continue on the fourth column that says, if yes, please explain if it's subject to existing policy recommendations, implementation action, or ongoing policy development work. So this is for me a binary question that then has to produce some kind of recommendation. So and the suggestion was to if it was ongoing PDP work, this sentence or recommendation should come from the specific working group, maybe from the chair. If it was existing policy, if there existed a policy on that issue, maybe it would be easier that staff directs us or to the source of these recommendations, so that we can summarize to the board in a way that says, yes, there is some existing work here, either already approved or ongoing. That would give a quick reaction to the board to say, to flag, okay, be careful, we have to relate whatever the GAC told us with an existing policy or ongoing work of the GNSO.
Okay, thanks, Carlos. I've got it now. That's very helpful. So there's a couple of points, remarks I would make. Is one, generally, this seems like something which has real value, potentially. I guess the question is, to what extent is this being picked up on list? I see a couple of hands have shot up, so let me defer to those. I've got James first. Go ahead, James.
About the thinking about this.
James, audio is patchy. If you could just start again, please, that would be great. I hope it's not only me.
Okay, I must have lost.
James, you're indistinct to inaudible. I'm going to go to Amma and see if there's a practical issue you can deal with on a microphone or a connection or something, and then come back to you.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amma.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that the GNSO review of the GAC communique and this template was briefly discussed on the GNSO working group, the policy and implementation working group. We should hopefully have a final report coming out of that working group before the Buenos Aires meeting. And the reason why this was discussed is because should the recommendations of that working group be adopted, then some of the processes being recommended may be helpful in the work of developing this template going forward and sort of how to handle how the GNSO may recommend the ICANN board handle advice items coming from the GAC to them. I just thought I'd note that at this time. I was not asked, as the council liaison to that working group, I was not asked to specifically bring this to the council right now, but I thought it may be helpful, especially since Carlos sort of highlighted what the GNSO may recommend or may not recommend in response to specific GAC advice. Thanks.
Okay, that's interesting and helpful. Thanks, Amar. Could you make one other comment? Is it, in your opinion, given that we're in a very sort of draft stage of how this might work, how consistent is what is being proposed here with what the policy implementation group is likely to or is currently on track to recommend or produce?
This is Amar again. I think it is actually very consistent. I think it may actually, I think some of the recommendations and the processes being recommended to be adopted by the GNSO will be very helpful in this because these processes are sort of designed to address situations where other ACs or SOs or possibly the board may want to refer issues, whether they are GTLV-related or not, to the GNSO for guidance or input. And there are specifically three different processes being recommended, and each one with its own set of prerequisites depending on the scenario. And eventually the GNSO council will determine which process is the more appropriate to be used under what set of circumstances. So I would see that at least two of these processes, an expedited PDP or possibly a GNSO guidance process, may be very useful in terms of recommendations from the GNSO Council on action items being recommended using this template to the ICANN board in response to GAC advice. I hope that was helpful. I guess folks could take a look at the preliminary report of the working group, and hopefully the final report will be coming out very soon. Thanks.
Okay, great. I think that is helpful. Thank you very much, Omar. James, you're back in the queue now, so let's see. And Carlos, if you could drop your hand. Yeah, you have done. Thank you. So, James, go ahead, and we'll see if we can hear you.
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Hello? James. Okay, good. Scared me for a moment. This is James speaking. Thank you, and I apologize for that audio problem. I hope that my comment is still relevant because I missed the other contributions. But I think that this is a good start, and I do thank Carlos and the other folks who worked on this for showing us the way. But I wonder if there would be value in incorporating two perhaps other points or pivot points that could be addressed as part of this template. And the first one would be in addition to an analysis of whether or not the advice touches on an issue that's within the remit of either policy that's under development or policy that could be under development or existing policy, I think particularly if it's in the latter case, if it's under existing policy, there might be some mechanism for determining whether or not in the view of the council that this advice is aligned with that existing policy or somehow cuts across the grain of existing policy and therefore requires some further action. And then the second thing is in the action here, I think that when we say how is the issue being dealt with by the GNSO, I think we should be very specific about the expected audience of our response. If we're directing action or dealings with the GAC itself, with the PDP that may be working on the policy, or if we're directing it back towards the board, I want to be sure that that's, I believe, a required element of that last column. So those are just my thoughts on this, and I don't know if they are just kind of color commentary at this point because I missed a lot of the conversation. Thanks.
I think on your first point, James, that's consistent with what was suggested elsewhere, which is that as a first pass, staff could comment and help populate the template with is this consistent with existing policy, and if so, to point to where. What would be useful then is that the council confirms in its view, it reviews that. So there's quite a neat step, it seems, where one could look at what Carlos suggested, which is refer those that are under development to comment by the working group chair. Those, to the extent that it's existing policy, we could use staff as a first pass to link us to that existing policy, and the council could then check whether there was daylight, as you suggest, between the two. As to action, that's a good point as well. Marika, your hand has come up in response to that, and then we'll go back to the queue, which now includes David, Cake, and Mason Cole. Marika?
This is Marika. Just responding to the staff action item for this. I mean, I think at first sight it sounds pretty easy, you know, find a policy and link it to it, but I think in many of the cases there may be nuances to that. You know, for example, just looking at the first item, you know, of course there is a new G2LD policy, but, you know, was that issue specifically addressed or not as part of that? You know, if it's not called out, does it mean there was no policy on it, or because it wasn't addressed, it means the policy is that there is no policy? So I'm a little bit hesitant to, you know, have staff make a determination there, as I think there, you know, are probably different views on how, whether or not that is addressed. And I think that's as well, I would encourage the council, and especially groups that have specific interest or knowledge as well of these items, to look at that and you know, make a suggestion to the council whether or not they believe it is something that is covered by the policy or not. But, you know, of course, we can, you know, in a general sense, for example, you know, several of the items relate to new GTLD, so obviously we can refer to the new GTLD policy recommendations, but I think it's probably still up to the council to make the link on whether, you know, that is specifically covered under there or not, or you know, doesn't need to be dealt with in another way.
Yeah, and so that thanks, Marika. Thank you for that. And that's entirely consistent with what I said a moment ago. It would be that staff would not be the sole determinant. It would have to come past the council as well to look at those nuances and where that daylight might be, and that by that way also involve interested parties. David Cake, go ahead.
just away for a minute. I just wanted to say a couple of things about this. One is I'm pretty sure that the version that's on this on the Adobe Connect here is not the latest version. So the group, it doesn't seem to have items in in the last two columns, which I think we have done. So a version will be circulated to council very sure, I think, very soon. I think that this is a good process as far as it goes, but we do really need input from the entire council in order to really produce some advice on this. So I think this initial phase of working out whether or not it is something on which the GNSO Council should comment is been very valuable, but I think it will probably need to be an item for the entire council to discuss what that response should be in some cases. And I just wanted to assure James that we are very cognizant of the idea that the audience of this is precisely for the board to inform their... So it's only to inform board decision-making in regards to their response to the GAT communique. It is not intended to... while of course, it's... there are other mechanisms in place for the individual working groups and the individual and for other individual working groups to deal with the GAT advice and for and stakeholder groups and so on can respond. So on some of these things, it's we need to work out what we need to respond to as a council, though there is a clear GNSO interest, which what exactly will be the GNSO response and what will be the council response and which will come from individual stakeholder groups is a question that we haven't really addressed in this discussion as such. So there's still, I think there's been a very useful exercise, and I think we're at the point where we really need input from the entire council as to where we go from here. That's all.
Thanks, David. And I think you're obviously getting some of that input now, and that's helpful. Go ahead, Mason.
Hi, thank you. This is Mason. One thought, one relates to process and the other relates to the content of the output. In terms of process, it looks to me, I'm speaking in my role as the liaison to the GAC, it looks to me as though the process is fairly well defined and it's something that can be shared with the GAC or at least the GAC GNSO consultation group as a way to set expectations for how the GNSO is going to contribute to the dialogue on communiques. So if it's agreeable to the council, then I'll prepare to communicate to the what to expect in terms of our engagement on their communiques. And then in terms of the content of the output, I guess my question for Carlos and David would be, I understand what we're looking at on the screen is preliminary and requires input. Is there a timeline of some kind that we might expect output from the council on the Singapore case?
Mason, go ahead, Carlos.
Yes, thank you, Mason. During the last call, we discussed if we weren't too late in this exercise, and some people said, well, we have to finish the exercise. I don't know if it will be effective for this round. I guess the board has already analyzed and so on. So my feeling is we should finish the exercise with the content, as you said, and share it with the GAC and the board. But after Buenos Aires, we need to set serious timelines for doing it on a prompt prompt manner.
Thank you, Carlos, and thank you, Mason. Mason, your mic looks like it's still open.
Thank you, Jonathan. Mason speaking again. I appreciate the update, Carlos. Jonathan, with the council's permission, then I will prepare to update the GAC GNSO consultation group on the process so that we can begin to set expectations on the GAC about council engagement on communiques. I think it's important that we do that so they're not taken by surprise. So if the council is agreeable to that, then I'll move forward.
Thanks, Mason. Close your mic. Thanks. That's absolutely right. I think that makes sense. Subject only to the fact that, as you know, it is our intention to have an initial meeting at which this will be an item on the agenda with the GAC vice chairs and chairs. So I think we need to have that discussion with them and just let them. I'm just cautious of the sort of political surprise factor, and so I just want to make sure that they are properly briefed on what the plan and intention and how it fits in with the work of the GAC GNSO group. So we need to do that either in parallel or probably in sequence, but subject to that, I think both yours and Carlos's points makes a lot of sense to me. We ensure that the work continues with the GAC GNSO group. And as Carlos says, we push this, even if it is as an exercise without timely output, so that we're in a position to do this properly and rapidly post Buenos Aires. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Just a question, are we going to have an opportunity to discuss this document before it is sent to the GAC? I'm curious myself about items 9 and 10 as to how we reach a decision that the GNSO does not have, is not, that these items are not within the remit of the GNSO. Thanks.
So Carlos puts in the chat the point that we would be communicating with the board. I expect as a courtesy we'd probably communicate what we communicated to the board. We would copy the GAC in. That would be my expectation of the process. But in any event, Stephanie, we are not proposing to send this in short order. This is not agreed yet. And we haven't even discussed this with the kind of the concept with the GAC leadership, which is one thing that I would like to, I mean, I've mentioned it in passing, literally in a corridor conversation to the GAC chair, and then it is our intention that Volker, David, myself, and Mason will meet with the GAC chair and vice chairs next week and give them an indication that this is a process we are working on, but as a specific content, we are absolutely not yet agreed to communicate that to the GAC. Olivier, your hand is up.
Thanks very much, Jonathan, Olivier Capanoblot. And I wonder whether in the third column, does the advice concern an issue that can be considered within the remit of the GNSO, yes or no? Has it been considered to include a rationale for the yes or no answer on this? Or is this outside the scope of this document?
Thanks, Olivier. Marika's put her hand up in response to that. Go ahead, Marika.
This is Marika. As a draft, I think as it's up here, I helped put together, and I think the yes-nos may have been mine as a starting point for discussions and definitely not an authoritative voice or anything, but my determination was basically, as per the bylaws, the remit of the genus or council, specifically GTLD policy. So I've basically looked at these items, are those specific GTLD policy items? That, of course, doesn't mean that the GNSO may have views or work on other items that are not purely related to GTLD policy, but that's the criteria I basically used for this column.
Okay, if I may again, Jonathan, so that my question, it's Olivier again, my question was actually whether this rationale was going to be given in the column or whether this column was going to be purely a yes or no answer. And with regards to the next columns, will these also be yes and no answers, or will there be further text?
Amar points out that the Marika points out that it would be up to the council to decide, and Amar points out that in column four, which is effectively a form of rationale there. Amar?
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amar. Yeah, to just to pick up on Olivier's question, I did get the impression that column four was meant to provide the rationale for the answer in column three, but perhaps it could also be modified to not only include existing and ongoing policies or policy development work, but also possible future policy work. So that may also help cover GTLD policy issues, even if they have not yet been addressed by the GNSO or are not being addressed currently. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. I happen to agree with you on that. I think having a forward-looking component to it makes a lot of sense. So I think we need this work to continue, both on the format of the template in the way that's just been suggested a moment ago, and in the content of this exercise. I think it's far from a futile exercise. It makes a lot of sense to subject the work into a trial run with relating to the GAC communique of Singapore. So is there anyone, I mean, Volker's actually out of action in terms of, I understand he's got some personal time off for a relatively long period of time over the next few weeks. Is there anyone else who is willing or interested specifically to join this group and assist with pushing it forward along the lines that we've just discussed? Stephanie, go ahead. Stephanie, could you confirm if that's a hand raised to talk or to join the group?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Ah, good. Don't know what happened there. Yes, I'd be delighted to join the group. Most of the work appears to be done, I must say. It's just a question of finishing it off in time for the next meeting, if I have that correctly.
Okay, I think there's clearly two elements. It feels like there could be some work to improve the template and to populate it. And I think both of those could be very useful based on the discussion we've had here. If anyone else is willing to join and work with Carlos, David, and Stephanie, please do let them know. I think this ultimately pushes the way in which we work forward to a new level, potentially, and allows us to really insert and assert ourselves appropriately in the process. So look forward to that. All right, let's move us along through the agenda, and we will, of course, go back now to... I think what we'll do is we'll go to hear from Thomas, which is technically item six on the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN accountability. This has two benefits. One is that you don't hear from me in a continuous fashion, and two is that it actually possibly makes more logical sense to hear from the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN accountability ahead of that on the transition, since the transition work has increasingly begun to rely on and depend on the work of the accountability group. And so I think a sort of high-level summary and an update on that and an opportunity for anyone particularly to ask any questions that they might have, because as you would have seen from perhaps an article that came out yesterday, there is a concern, a community concern about the pace at which this work is going, and that's understandable. There are myriad meetings and a lot of activity. And in particular, one potential consequence of such pace is that the chartering SO and ACs may feel insufficiently informed or up to speed on what's going on. And so that is precisely why we have these updates on record and for your benefit and your respective groups' benefits. So go ahead, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, and I hope that everyone can hear me all right. Thank you for the opportunity to update the Council, and hopefully a lot of folks from the wider GNSO also listen to this. I would like to express my appreciation and the continuous efforts by our group on this project. As you rightly pointed out, at the moment we're going at quite a speedy pace, but I think that is not unusual for projects such as this. To be quite honest, I haven't seen any project where you didn't have time constraints and more workload towards the completion of a work result. And I'm cautiously saying work result to avoid the word consensus position or final recommendations, because that's what we are definitely not at yet. So what we are doing at the moment is actually have quite an intense few weeks of work. You will remember from earlier updates to the Council that we have agreed on components that would make for an accountability architecture. So we have the community, we have the ICANN board, we have the bylaws, and we have the independent review, which would be the equivalent to the legislative, the executive, the judiciary, and the constituency if you compare it to checks and balancing systems in states. We are continuously fleshing out the community powers. You will remember that we have identified community powers for work stream one, i.e. those items that need to be either implemented or committed to prior to the transition, that would be the community power to approve or veto the budget, the strategic plan, to recall directors. And there's one that I'm missing now, but I'll get back to that potentially later. So it's the empowered community that we're working on. It's a change to the ICANN bylaws that we're working on in order to have a revised mission and core values that would enshrine the fundamental principles on the basis of which ICANN would operate. And they would also be the basis for an independent review panel to assess whether certain actions that ICANN has taken, or particularly the ICANN board has taken, is in violation of this of the bylaws or not. So these areas, as well as the review and redress mechanism, are being fleshed out as we speak. We have been waiting for independent legal advice for quite some time. We had the first call with the whole group and the legal advisors last Thursday, where they have suggested to us implementation vehicles that we could use to actually achieve the implementation of the requirements that we've established for the accountability system. And we are working very intensely with the lawyers to answer all the questions that our group has, and also to advance a discussion on which implementation model would be favorable. You will remember from earlier briefings that we have been very cautious only to work on requirements that we have in order to provide for an enhanced accountability inside ICANN. We have not talked about concrete implementation. There have been suggestions to turn ICANN into a true membership organization. There have been the suggestion to look at a delegate or designator model. There has been the request to look at a supervisory board or a two-tier board structure. And we've always stepped away from that because we said that we, not being California non-for-profit lawyers, we can't make an informed decision on whether a certain legal vehicle is appropriate to achieve our goal, whether it's easily implementable, whether the rights that the community gets are enforceable, and so on and so forth. And now we're at a stage where we have exactly this discussion, and we are particularly looking at a designator model as well as a membership model, both of which have their pros and cons, and I think it would be premature to give a trend to this group. But basically what we're planning to do now is to get the questions answered, to put the loose ends together, if you wish, and provide for a very concise report outlining the basic principles for our recommendations, to refine that in a two-day intense work period that we plan to have on next Thursday and Friday. We're going to particularly focus and prioritize the items that have been requested by the CWG, and I'll get back to those in a moment, because there's a particular dependency of the CWG on what we're building for them to build on. So we are finalizing this, then we're going to have a document freeze period, which allows our group to assess the interim work results. Then we're going to have the intense 2 work days to further clarify what we have been working on, and then we will put together a report that is going to be put out for public comment. Now, Jonathan, you mentioned the point, and I need to get back to that, of complaints about the workload being too high or us going at going too fast. What we try to do is ensure that even if we go fast now, the quality of what we are doing is not suffering. We have agreed with our group in Istanbul that we would work from general recommendations to a greater level of detail, so we might need to confine ourselves to more principal or general recommendations and leave the definition of detail for a later stage. As long as the community can understand the gist of what the new accountability infrastructure is going to look like. So simplification, making it easier for not only the 170 people that are in our group, but also for the wider community to understand, is key. So we need to convey the messages clearly. And by doing so, we as co-chairs still think that we can be inclusive. You know, certainly not everybody can read everything that every sub-team is producing, but this is exactly why we shared the burden among sub-teams. The challenge now is to put these work results or interim work results together and put into an easy-to-understand format. And we're actually looking at a 20, maximum 25-page report that people can look at. We're not yet there. That I have to say loud and clearly, but I think that our completion is, or our progress is, much greater than some people would think. And it's the challenge for, or it is the responsibility of co-chairs of such complex projects to keep an overview of where we are. And we've discussed this with the group. We think that we made huge progress over the last couple of weeks, and we will keep the community fully informed, and certainly inclusiveness should not suffer from what we're doing. We are also working on an engagement plan with the community. What we are doing needs to be easy to understand. It's not good enough for our group to understand what we're doing. We need consensus, not only from our group, but from the whole community. And this is why we are working on having webinars. We are working on having the cartoonists that we've been using previously. We are looking at other forms of rich media, you know, like little films that would tell the story of what we're doing in an easy-to-understand fashion, so that people can understand and comment during the public comment period. And for that, we're actually looking at a specific interview type or, you know, form type, a Q&A with the community, so that people are not forced to write free-form comments in the public comment period, but that they are confronted with some specific questions that make them makes it easier for them to participate and contribute. And also, and the councillors will know this, public comment periods are not only used to seek confirmation for recommendations that a working group has previously come up with, but public comment periods can also be used, and this is, I think, the way that is right to pursue. Public comment periods are also used to ask the community whether we are on the right track, and to clearly communicate the pros and cons of different options and ask the community which option they favor. So, you know, without going into detail, you can have, let's say, one option which is perfect to achieve your goals, but which might be cumbersome to implement and very complex to manage. And the question then would be whether you maybe sacrifice one or two details that are not decisive and rather go for an option that allows for the community to have more flexibility in managing their responsibility after the historic relationship with the U.S. government has ended. So I think I should pause here. I hope that you understand or that I was successful in conveying the message that I think we're in good shape, in progress. I've talked a lot about process and not that much about substance, but that's due to the fact that we are working full throttle on finalizing some details on the interim results on substance, but the concerns that have been voiced in the community were more about process, which is why I spoke to that issue primarily during these few minutes. Let me finally highlight that the CWG, and you know that we are liaising very intensively with Lisa and Jonathan, being the co-chairs of the CWG. We have sat together with them, in addition to regular phone calls that we have, and asked them to provide us with some specific recommendations or requirements that they would have for the accountability work, and we've been provided with the document specifying exactly that earlier this week. I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. So we will work on those, for example, relating the ICANN budget. So the CWG wants to have certain details in the budget in order to be able to understand where the budget allocation is and whether money is spent worthwhile. They also would like to have certain features in the community empowerment mechanisms. They would like to see certain features in the review and redress mechanisms and in the appeals mechanism. We're now seeing that the work of the two groups actually is moving to being closer and closer, because what we're trying to achieve is a holistic approach, one proposal that meets the needs of both the CWG as well as the CCWG, and I think that we're on a very good path to achieving this goal. I think, Jonathan, I should pause here. I hope I haven't dwelled on this for too long, but I thought it was worthwhile explaining a little bit where we are.
Thanks, Thomas, for a well-structured and comprehensive update. That's very useful. I've obviously had the privilege of working with you and the co-chairs in the coordination role, and you know, my personal view is that you're tackling a substantial and challenging project with a big group and doing a great job of making progress. I'll speak a little to the link to the CWG in a moment when we deal with the next item, but I'll pause here to see if there are any comments or questions on that update that Thomas has provided. Go ahead.
Hi. Jonathan, is that a cue for me? This is Amr.
Please go ahead, Amr.
Thank you. And thanks, Thomas, for the brief, and thank you and everyone on the CCWG for the the very challenging volume of work that you're undertaking. I thought there was one item you mentioned that I was not aware of before that I believe to be interesting. You mentioned a period where there would be a document freeze. I think that would be extremely helpful. At this point, it's not just about providing ample time for the community to sort of review the work that you're doing and try to build the consensus that you want to build. It seems to me that there really is a need for the actual members and participants of the CC to have time to reflect on their own work and then sort of like take a step back and look at it. So my question is, if you're planning on holding a document freeze period, what length do you think that period may be?
This is Thomas. I might be disappointing you now, but we're talking about 3 to 4 days. Because at the moment, we're producing updates to individual documents quite frequently, and this is difficult for the group to follow, which is why we want to make sure that people can actually step back, have one document. We're going to package all the information for the group in a nice format so that they can take a look at it and digest what we have before we enter into the intensive 2 work days.
Thanks, Thomas. I hope Amar got that. I see from the chat that he is disconnected, but it is on the record in any event. Any other comments or questions or points? Okay, well, thanks again, Thomas. I'll use that as an opportunity to introduce the next item, which I won't say a lot, but I do think there are a few points under item 5, the work of the cross-community working group to develop a transition proposal. This is similarly intense and active. Most recently, we spent 2 days, Monday and Tuesday of this week, in which we ran 6 2-hour sessions. So that was a total of 12 hours over 2 days of the group being in session at some particularly unsociable hours for some. And where we've got to is an intention here to produce a draft proposal within approximately 1 week of now, and that draft proposal is rapidly taking shape on the back of 2 overarching areas of work. One is that of the so-called design teams, who've really concentrated on the operational and technical aspects, and the other is of the so-called, really the structural issues, that's to say the sort of model that we've worked with. And I see that Marika has helpfully put up some slides, which were prepared by the animators, animators and communication specialists that Thomas referred to earlier, the group called Explain. And you can be able to scroll. And I think we should share this communication document with the whole council. So if I could ask you, Marika, to send this out by email to the council, and it includes on slide 4 a timeline. And some key aspects of what had been achieved, including slide 3 on coordination between the two groups. And there I would say the use of a common law firm has been very helpful, and it's helped. The critical thing it's really helped with, in my opinion, is twofold. One, it's allowed this working group on the stewardship to really home in and cut down and refine the most likely structure in which the IANA operation in what's being referred to as the post-transition IANA will sit. And secondly, to build a greater confidence and common understanding of what work will be done in the cross-community working group on accountability that Thomas was just talking about, and to understand how we could depend on that. This slide deck deals with both the progress and the timeline on Slide 4, what was dealt with at the Istanbul face-to-face meeting, and in fact then look forward to the meetings that I just referred to over the 13th and 14th of April, Monday, Tuesday this week, and sort of plot out the steps and how they run up to a public comment period later in April, May, and in towards the Buenos Aires meeting. If you go to slide 7, you will see exactly how the group is focused on producing a proposal using the design teams to break down the constituent parts of the work and feed those into an overall proposal. And those design teams are catalogued in slide 8, and including a status at the end of the Istanbul meeting. So I'll leave you to look at those 8 slides at your leisure. I happen to think that the Explain group do a very good job of simplifying what's a complex and multifaceted project. And there is similar Explain materials, as Thomas alluded to, for the work of the CCWG. Notwithstanding that, I'm sure some of you may have questions or issues, so I'm going to pause now and just see if anyone has anything they'd like to know or understand about any aspect of the work of the group on account on the transition. James, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
James, we hear you fine. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Thank you, James speaking. And thanks for this. I think I've been trying to follow this group, but being involved in the accountability group and then following the ICG as well has been a challenge. So just a quick question, looking at slide, I believe I'm on slide 6, where the different next steps all flow through to the proposal that then it's submitted to the ICG. I guess I have two quick questions here, and perhaps they're overarching and outside the scope of this council call, but what is the expectation of the CWG, what is the expectation that the ICG will do with this report, given that the other two communities have already basically submitted their draft proposals? Certainly there's a recognition that this operational community is kind of bringing up the rear because we have so much more to do, and I'm just curious as to if at all that's even factoring into the work of the CWG.
I think that's a really interesting question, James, and it's a good point. Let me tell you what I think, which is I think maybe personal opinion combined with my view as a chair. We had those two proposals by the time we went to Singapore from the numbers and protocol communities in with the ICG in time with the original ICG target date or deadline. We had the prospect of the names community submitting independently of that and then the ICG having to do substantial work to try and reconcile these. Arguably, the ICG may still have to do that, but we've worked within the CWG on a couple of things to try and make that work of the ICG both more straightforward but more time-efficient, recognizing that, in my opinion, this was a responsibility that we picked up by virtue of the fact that we were out of sync with the timing. So we benefited from the fact that those two proposals were in already. We could see the shape and structure of them. Although, as a side point, I understand there is still refinement and parallel work going on those two, both in response to ICG requests for clarification and other work. But I won't go any further than that. That's just what I hear. So what we have done in the CWG is said, okay, we understand the structure of those proposals, and we can attempt to structure our proposal as closely as possible to correlate with those other two proposals in order that the ICG can do the most efficient side-by-side analysis. And that's really at a kind of structural level, at a practical level in terms of composing the proposal. What that really means is that we're going to build a proposal where we push significant detail into the annexes and have what we've called a short form or proposal that will sit on top of those annexes that will be directly comparable and ideally reconcilable with those two proposals. Now, some in our group have the view that we should write our proposal to suit the naming community, and we shouldn't overly or even perhaps at all refer to the other group's proposals. I think there's a pragmatism here. Clearly, it's the ICG's job to reconcile them, but I understood that should the ICG have real difficulties, there is a very realistic chance that they'll simply refer that back to our group in any event. So we might as well anticipate that, in my view, as chair, and do our best to anticipate any issues like that and provide the ICG with a proposal that is as reconcilable as possible. We can't solve for all the issues, but that's it. So I hope that's a comprehensive enough answer to your question. And I see that Avri's hand's gone up also, I think, in response to that question. So let me hand over to Avri. Avri, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Avri speaking. I only wanted to add one thing. In fact, I almost pulled my hand down. But one of the things that I think we've made a intentional effort to do is to not force either of those two operational communities to have to adjust to the naming community proposal. At a certain point, there were implications and what have you that might have required some change, however small, on their part. I think at this time there's a real focus to make sure that we don't do that. And I think that's been an important part of the process. So I'm not contradicting anything Jonathan said, but that extra effort has been clear and quite intentional. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Avri, and I'm glad you didn't put down your hand. I think that's a really useful additional point. We have been mindful of the autonomy of those groups and their independent production of proposals. And you're right, there was some concern. And in fact, there's still due to be a call between the co-chairs of the CWG and one of the other groups submitting a proposal at least, just to answer any questions in relation to that. But that's a really good point you make in supplement to what I said. Any other questions, comments, or points in and around this work? Okay, seeing none, I'll keep us moving on then onto item 7. Now, this is an interesting one. This was a point that was raised, and I'm not sure who specifically raised it. I think it might have been Volker in our Singapore meeting. And essentially, this arose from a concern, if you like, or an issue that the relative allocation of the budget of ICANN seemed to be relatively small in relation to policy work, and so Volker advocated that we should have a look into this and do a little bit more work to understand about the proportion of funds allocated to policy development work and the extent to which that may or may not have changed. So I understand that Amar has stepped in to make some input on this point in Volker's absence, which is great, so Amar will welcome you doing that. I also understand that in response to a request from the council or from the chairs group, myself, David, and Volker yesterday, David Olive, ICANN's director of policy, is prepared to talk with us a little bit about this and give us a bit more background. So, Amar, let me see if there's anything you'd like to say, and thereafter we'll invite David to make any remarks, and then we can discuss it and see if there are any next steps. Amar?
Well, thanks, Jonathan. This is Amar. I actually have very little to say about this. I've been going over the slides for the FY16 budget and operating plan. I've largely found it to be confusing and difficult to understand. I think it would be helpful to have more information on some of the items it does, as Volker did point out and as you pointed out right now, it does seem that the actual budget allocated to supporting policy development in the GNSO seems to be rather low. There are references to staff and issues revolving around new GTLDs. There's also a reference to GTLD team. I'm not sure if that's regarding ICANN staff or if it's. I believe there's also a private contracting firm that helps ICANN out with the stuff by that name. One of the other issues that Volker raised was bringing in experts to assist in policy work, and specifically experts in data protection and privacy. And I personally, speaking for myself, I see how that may be very useful in some of the work that GNSO is going to take up, especially regarding the new registration directory services model and the PDP that will probably kick off sometime later this year. There is a reference to a budget allocated to that. I have really very little way of knowing whether this budget allocation is sufficient or not, and then maybe at this point it may be appropriate for the council to actually give questions more than come up with a position on this. There is a May 1st deadline for an open public comment period on this topic, and we probably should have something prepared, whether it's in the form of a position on the budget or questions requesting clarification, or perhaps maybe both. One of the issues Volker did raise, and he's not here to speak to that in his email, was a comparison between support for policy work and in terms of supporting staff and bringing in the expertise versus outreach and sort of academic initiatives by ICANN. I would personally not be very much in favor of conflating the two and maybe comparing them. I think they're two very separate initiatives and parts of the work of ICANN, and really no need to really hold that comparison. It was my understanding that David Olive would be on this call, and I see he is, and I'm grateful to have him here. If he could also perhaps give some insight into this at this point, I would be very grateful. I do apologize. I've only been looking into this for the past couple of days. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr and Jonathan, for this opportunity. David and Volker, I know who's not here, but we talked about this yesterday, and I was asked if I could provide some additional information. I'm happy to do so. I know everyone is very busy, and sometimes we provide large documentation, and the budget is an important one. As one knows, this is linked to now our strategic plan and our five-year operating plan, and this is the first year of having the annual operating budget in that five-year time frame. And it is, of course, supporting the five strategic objectives and goals, the one that is most of interest to all of us and the one that I focus on is the objective of evolving the policy development process to be more accountable, inclusive, efficient, and effective. So to that extent, in the document that's out for public comment, I would draw your attention to the draft 16 operating plan and budget document. On page 8, it talks about resource utilization by the various groups. And in particular, there is an entry that's called the SOAC policy and engagement item. Here we're talking about a proposal for FY16 of a little over $11 million, up from about $8 million in FY15 as kind of a general number. But I should be careful and point out particularly that these items are looking at the dedicated resources, the core policy development support budget that I manage for personnel, travel, professional services, and admin for the department as they support you and others. And it is just one indicator of the support for the policy development and advisory processes that we give to community groups that fuel, of course, your work. And in fact, there are separate indicators that reflect community support in this, but I just wanted to point that out. The policy team in general supports the three supporting organizations who develop policy at ICANN, as well as the four advisory committees. At any ICANN public meeting, we are also supporting over 150 sessions of your groups and other groups as they do their work in the face-to-face meetings at ICANN, and obviously the service to the GNSO you know well. In case of the GNSO and the staffing, the people that are hosted there on the website you know as well, we have the dedicated staff of Marika and Mary, Steve, Lars, Glenn, Natalie, Gisela, Terry Agnew, and then on different occasions, Julie, Rob Hogarth, Benedetta, Steve Shang, and others in support of your particular work. Another component of that SOAC policy engagement budget is the constituency travel support area to support council and other leaders in the face-to-face policy and advisory work at ICANN public meetings, and that and that's a part of that as well. So in addition to what is a narrow snapshot of the core dedicated functions, I have to add that there are an extensive shared support infrastructure capabilities that are in the budgets of other departments for the SOAC support, and this includes IT, and that would be teleconferences, AC rooms, transcripts, and meetings, such as this meeting today is under that, assistance from the legal office, compliance, GDD, and in the relationships of consultations, communications, including videos, publications, and translations, community online tools such as Wiki, the various SOAC websites, and tools for working groups and constituencies that are being developed, as well as the annual special SOAC budget. At this stage, the finance team doesn't currently produce the costs by department function. That is to say, policy or something like that. This may happen in the near future as this degree of detail may be needed, but at the moment it's a combination of things, as I was pointing out. The specific numbers aside, Jonathan and Amar and council members, I can definitely state that as the ICANN budget has grown over the last several years, we've been able to increase the number and amount of support capabilities and engagement services delivered to the GNSO and to the other SOs and ACs. For the GNSO alone, we now have a core part of the budget that is for the annual GNSO strategic sessions at the end of the general meetings. We also have been able to resource targeted groups for face-to-face meetings during the ICANN public meeting, and that will continue in the FY16 proposals. Over the last couple of years, we've been able to solidify constituency travel to support the GNSO stakeholder group and constituency leaders for attendance at ICANN meetings to help facilitate their process in involvement in the policy development work of the council. And as we go forward, we hope to increase that travel support for both contracted and non-contracted leaders. In terms of trying to open the door for engagement and outreach, there's been travel support through a series of pilot projects called the CROP program from FY14, 15, and 16, which we hope to add to as an outreach component for some of the communities. Also, in FY15, we launched a pilot project for secretariat support for the non-contracted community, and to the point raised, we are looking to develop in FY16 a pilot program of expanded community support to address the policy development workloads, helping with documents and document drafting and this type of thing. Jonathan and others may be informing you of the overall improvements within the SOAC community leadership as they are considering how to address the general workload of prioritization, information management, how easy it is to access information. You've seen some improvements in the GNSO site to make a one-page landing, a quick reference to get the materials you need to do your job, and more of that is coming, as well as community engagement opportunities, some of the projects we've talked about. And these will have a longer-term impact as well. So despite the various gains, we still have a lot of work to do, obviously, with the community, and the workload continues. Thus, to the extent that the Council has an interest in commenting, as you are the managers of the policy development work for the generic naming space, I encourage you to look at this and to try to focus on some of those pages I've indicated on the budget document and comment on that. Now, areas that could be, if you didn't want to get into too much detail, would be one, is the level of policy and other staff support for the PDP activities adequate or not? Or the need for additional resources for substantial new or additional policy work that you may see coming down the road in FY16 over and above the expected workload, comment on that possibly. And three, any other comments about the overall direction of the budget focused on the policy work, I think would be some areas, and good to hear your views. So I will just stop there and hope that this has been a helpful explanation, as, of course, the CFO, Xavier Calvez, and his team have been conducting seminars and webinars to brief the group. He has a smaller group of budget-interested people as well that provide more of the details of many aspects of the budget. But I thought I would focus on this one and hopefully encourage your look at, and if you think you would like to make a comment or input on it, I think we would welcome that. I'll stop there. Thank you.
David, thank you. That is both informative and helpful. I think it would be very useful to hear from other councillors, and I see some hands have gone up. So let's fire away and hear comments or questions or other points in relation to this. Go ahead, Donna. You're first in the queue.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. David, thank you for the overview. I mean, it's very helpful, but it also seems to illustrate there's a hell of a lot of work going on, but I don't know that your core resources in terms of staff have changed significantly over time. And I'd just be interested to understand from your perspective whether you think you have the adequate resources to keep up with the job, I suppose, because, you know, obviously we don't have the broad overview that you have. So it would be useful to get your perspective. And I just like to add, I mean, Marika turns up everywhere, and she does a tremendous job. But, you know, I'm also very conscious. We talk about community burnout, but you also need to be mindful of, you know, that staff aren't being overextended as well. So I'd just be interested in your perspective of whether you think you have the resources you need to get through the work and also all of the work that's coming down the pipe. Thanks.
Thank you, Donna. The issue is, in a sense, for my department, we have grown the policy staff from roughly 23 in fiscal 14 to we're now at 27. We've brought in a series of people at various levels to make sure that we have growth for people as they learn the job, as well as senior people to help train them. So we're at 27 for fiscal 16 at the moment, and we do have some professional services help for specific expertise to do additional work as well. And you know some of them who help us out on the various areas. That said, it you know really is the expectation of will we now move into a period of more rapid policy development issues now that the new GTLD program is launched and other issues that may now come back to the GNSO as policy work. What does that mean? And we, in a sense, were rather cautious to ramp up from the 23 to the 27 today. Positioning both subject matter experts and secretariat support in anticipation of that, waiting to see exactly which way this may go, and FY16 may be that turning point. But I think at the moment we think we have the staffing. But should something come our way, a special project or board mandated efforts, We would then talk about increased resources to address that, as we did, for example, with the U.S. government transition of the IANA function and the cross-community working group. That was not anticipated 12-plus months ago in any budget planning, but we made the arrangements to put resources and staff there to address those issues.
Thanks, David. Amar?
Thanks, Jonathan, and thank you, Donna and David. I think the two of you in combination pretty much covered everything I wanted to raise. I think it's interesting that it wasn't planned to sort of budget policy staff's involvement in things like the CWG and CWG. And I don't mean to blame anyone for that, I would say that I do foresee a significant amount of policy work, at least with GNSO, that may be coming up. And while policy staff has been doing an amazing job supporting the GNSO and now the wider community as well, for example, having Marika's involvement in the CWG on the INS stewardship transition, I'm guessing there will be other initiatives that are beyond just the GNSO where, again, you may have to have staff allocated to other groups, things such as the potential cross-community working group on how to handle auction proceeds. There may also possibly be a cross-community initiative on one of the strategic plan items concerning ICANN's role in the public interest. There may be a number of things, all I'm saying is I do hope that there is sufficient budget. There is sufficient budget allocated to sort of make sure that you have the support that you need. I'm talking to David now. You and your team have the support you need to support the work that the community is doing. What I would really be grateful for is because obviously we couldn't ask for better insight than what you could provide us is if it would be okay for you to work with Volk or myself and anyone else interested in sort of coming up with questions or comments before May 1st. I'm sure there are several gaps you could fill. Thanks.
I'm happy to review that which you are preparing and to assist in that respect. Just one other comment. Thank you. The policy team is indeed primarily focused on our core functions, the supporting organizations in their policy development work and the advisory committee, in their advisory work to the board. And other staff are, of course, assisting in the CWG and the CCWG from strategy, legal, and the like. And we have also been advising them as well. I think now with the experience in the cross-community working groups that we've had to date, I think there is a better understanding of what are the resources needed to assist the community in doing these important tasks. And I think there's also a sensitivity about the budget to make sure that the staffing and the resources are there for that. So to that extent, thank you for that that comment, Amir. And Donna, thank you very much.
Thanks, Amir. David, let's go to Susan, and then I'm going to try and pull this item together a little.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, David, for the overall input. One of the things I'm concerned with and the council should think about maybe commenting on is that if the next generation directory services PDP goes forward, maybe in the fall or the beginning of next year, that the adequate resources be available for that. If we have time, discuss the framework document that our small working group delivered to the board and to the GNSO Council recently, but the working group envisioned maybe a three-phase PDP, which we've all been working on WHOIS for a long time and realize the complexities of it, and would envision a lot of budget
being necessary to move that forward. And one of the ideas we were thinking about was maybe even a paid facilitator to manage the, you know, to chair the PDP. So I think it is important that we think about all of the different policy work that could possibly go on and make sure that we're funded. There's enough funds to do that work.
Thank you, Susan. That's again, you know, in our learning curve of how best to direct our work and how to make it more efficient and effective, utilizing the best time of our volunteer leaders such as yourselves. I think those types of comments would be very useful and I think helpful to reinforce some of the issues that we've been identifying with the cross-community working group and the CCWG in this latest round of transition and accountability. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's been a really interesting discussion. It's been informative and it's been pretty thorough. What I'm hearing is I think I heard almost everyone refer to providing some sort of comment. This, from my recollection, would be unprecedented. Typically, the way this works is that the groups of the GNSO have provided their own comments and their own tracking of the budget, and I'm clearly aware, most obviously, of the work that the registry stakeholder group does. However, I think we've heard good arguments for why there might be some areas in which we would want to comment. One of the challenges, of course, is having the resources for us to even do this. But it strikes me that from what I've heard is there is a question here of ensuring that the current resource is adequate. There is also a question on the effective ability of us to understand, us as the manager of the process, to understand the budget allocated to policy development activities. So it strikes me that there's a segmentation issue, and I know that that cuts across many things. That's being worked on through accountability, through transition, because in the transition group there's a strong desire to understand the segmentation of the budget related to the IANA function. And then there is also the forward-looking component. How confident are we that we are properly covered for FY16 work, including some of the big strategic pieces like the cross-community working groups referred to by Amar and the expert working group related PDP referred to by Susan. So it feels to me like if we could pull together a structured and effective comment that would be, I think, precedented, but seems to make particular sense at this time. But it's going to need some work in the next couple of weeks at a time when we're all very busy. So I think what we will do is we've effectively got, to some extent, a volunteer in Amar, but I detect, and reasonably so, he's not wholly confident for a variety of reasons, and we need to support him. And this is the support in particular from people who have knowledge and understanding of financial issues and reporting in general, and ideally of ICANN's budget. So anyone who is willing to come together in a group, and we shouldn't presume that Amar will be the team lead of that group. Volk is definitely out of action for this particular next 2 weeks. So I think I'll ask Glenn to put out a call for volunteers to join that group, and we need a draft. We'll have to have a draft on an online document in very short order. I would suggest the mechanics of doing that is by creating some headings first, and then fleshing it out, but that's just happens to be my style, and I won't presume too much. Let's get some volunteers together, get some work doing, and put this in by the 1st of May, noting that we won't have a council meeting in between, so this is going to take some additional work to make sure we build consensus on list. Yeah, and that's the point, James. It's a very good point. James makes the point about consensus, and so this will be. But I think I feel confident that providing we focus on the role of the council and remember the role of the council as policy manager and focus our attention on resources to support the policy management function, I feel confident that we're on good territory and we won't cross over that of the work of the stakeholder groups or constituencies. Good. Well, thank you for that. I'm mindful of time, energy, and resources. I think we have a couple of other items on the agenda, and those are picking up on the strategic discussion items from Singapore, which we struggled to get to, and I think realistically we're going to struggle to get to again in this meeting. So unless somebody feels strongly otherwise, I am tempted to push us on to the any other business items. I think what we will do with respect to the strategic issues is probably push the presentation that dealt with that out to the list again as a reminder and just see if there are any comments or updates on that. We'll perhaps flag a couple of the key items, but there may be useful updates on that. And in the meantime, for now, deal with a quick update on the four items in AOB in order to finish on time. So item 10.1 relates to the update on the proposed cross-community working group on auction proceeds. You'll recall we as the General Council put out a note asking for interest. We got quite some expressions of interest from other SOs and ACs. We did have the CCNSO indicate that they were interested in the topic and would be able to provide expertise from the various CC registries, but that they would probably not be a chartering organization. But for the rest, from memory, there was support, and that's been now followed up by a call for volunteers to join a drafting team. The sort of hot off the press is a note from Steve Crocker, which I encourage you to read carefully, that came out last night, where Steve says essentially that a CWG is a welcome initiative, but we should be mindful of the fact that the board is planning to do its own work on this. So there's I wouldn't mind any. I haven't replied to Steve other than to acknowledge receipt of the email, and so maybe those of you that have read it might want to comment now. And I'll welcome any comments you have, and I see a few hands have gone up. So, Brett, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. I was surprised by Steve's message, and maybe I need more background on the process here. He seemed to suggest that the cross-community working group would be one input into the process, but not dispositive. He said at the end, I hope this is consistent with your understanding and expectations. It wasn't. It was my understanding and expectation that the cross-community working group would be dispositive of what happened. And I am sort of curious to know the background here, and maybe I certainly and maybe others as well need to do more research on this and understand sort of where this is supposed to live within ICANN. But I thought it was supposed to live with us, not at the board level. And I wonder if Steve is in fact right, and we are just going to be one input into a process, maybe we just ought to go with the process rather than creating a cross-community working group. So I don't know if other people have more information on the background here, but those were my initial thoughts.
Thanks, Brett. That's an interesting response, and I noticed that Avery gave a check mark to your early comment. I must say that just to comment on this is hot off the press. I only got this last night from Steve. There is no other background to it specifically, although I've tracked a couple of conversations over ICANN meetings over the past. At a very simple level, I think I agree with you in some ways. It's either I'm not sure that what Steve said reconciles. I think it feels to me like it's a little bit of an either-or situation. Let me defer to Phil and Avery, who are next in the queue. Phil.
Thank you, Jonathan. I join Brett in having been surprised by this email from Steve. I don't really know what he means by saying that the board's going to make a point of reaching outside the usual SO and AC structures. to include the rest of the internet community. I don't know what that means, since the internet community and anyone in it is very active within ICANN, and there are no barriers to anyone being involved with ICANN. But I have to say, this strikes me at a time when we're talking about accountability, ensuring that ICANN's a bottom-up and not a top-down organization, that this decision by the board, which comes after, you know, I don't have a record of what the board has said in the past, but my impression had been that the board had said, when we get to discussing what to do with the proceeds of the auctions, which I believe now stand at about $55 million, so this is a very substantial sum of money, we will consult fully with the community. There was no hint of going outside the community, and to suddenly see a board decision without any consultation with the community about whether the outreach should be broader, just announced as a fait accompli, I found somewhat disturbing. So I don't think it's a good idea to, just because the board has made this decision without consulting with anyone in the community, that we should abandon the idea of the cross-community working group. In fact, I think the group becomes more important in the context. But that's just based on a very short and not fully explanatory note from the chairman of the board, and I think we need to find out more about what the board means by this and how they reached this decision without any conversation with the community. Thank you.
Well, Phil, you made another very important point, and that is that the cross-community working group would be open to anyone within and, in fact, from whatever outside the ICANN community might be. They are open groups. So I think there's two points here. One is how it'd be very good to get not only the councillors' views, but any views from your groups on this. And then second, how, if at all, we respond to Steve's letter. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yes, thank you. I support very much, as Aubrey speaking, I support very much what Brett and Philip said. Going further, I mean, I was very dismayed when I read the note. It was politely dismissive, and that seemed inappropriate. And in terms of your response and interpret of the council's response, I believe that this is one of those occasions where we push out and say, you know, push back and say that, you know, their approach does not look appropriate, and that the cross-community working group with, as you say, further outreach and comments being further outreach beyond that is indeed the appropriate way to go with this. I mean, this is not, strictly speaking, like other policies, but it is a policy as to how we will handle that kind of money. And for the board to take this top-down approach is a very good indication of why some of the things that are happening in the cross-community work on ICANN accountability are indeed necessary. At times, sitting in that group, I go, well, gee, are we perhaps not trusting enough? But actions like this show that, no, there really is a need to dampen the board's enthusiasm for top-down decision-making. Thanks.
Lovely. So then the question is this something which should be handled at the council level, or is this perhaps something which needs to bring in other leadership within the GNSO and possibly other SOs and ACs? So that's something we need to think about, whether or not the response to the letter is, given that it's no longer a GNSO activity, really. I mean, it's all very well that Steve has responded to me, but in a sense this has gone beyond the council and beyond the GNSO to some extent. So that's an interesting thought as well. Olivier?
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and my colleagues on the ALAC in our own discussions have supported the idea of a cross-community working group. I call 7 had the chance to discuss the recent response from Steve Crocker on this, but I will in future calls, and I will come back to you. Thank you.
Thanks. So I think that's, given the time constraints, it's a pretty clear where the councillors feel this stands, both from your comments and from the responses in the chat, Thomas Rickett, Susan, Heather, Stephanie, and others. So I think that this is something where we will need to pick up on the list some thoughts as to where we go next with this, but it does feel like a response is necessary, and it's a question of where and how that response comes out. On 10.2, I don't think there is much to add. So we did discuss this in the preparation call for this meeting yesterday, and as I said at the outset when we talked about the action items, we intend to pick this up, David, Kate, myself, Glenn, in short order. That's to say the Buenos Aires planning work. I'm just mindful of approaching the top of the hour. There's the council liaison for BWG on country and territory names. Do we have a volunteer or someone who we need to appoint to that position? Is there someone we have already? Could I be reminded?
Yes, Jonathan?
Carlos, go ahead.
I don't know if we need a permanent liaison, but in any case, we want to raise a flag and ask for time during the next call to report to the council on what's going on there, please.
Okay. Sorry, Carlos, could you repeat? I got distracted. There was a hand went up and down, and I got a couple of other. I was just following the chat as well. If you just repeat what your requirement
is. I'm not sure if we are at the right moment to ask for a permanent liaison or not, but in any case, the co-chairs have agreed that we need some time, the next call of the GNSO Council, to ask a few questions, to put forward a few questions on this work, please. Thank you.
And Heather helpfully points out that we are missing a liaison in the absence of Cheryl. So can I check, maybe this is something that's not urgent that we can roll over to the next meeting based on having an update and doing that at that time. Heather Forrest confirms it's not urgent. I think we'll pass on this one for the moment and pick it up at the next meeting. I note Brett's point in the chat that he's asked for time on the May agenda to discuss the work of new GCLD discussion group in the warm-up to Buenos Aires. That's fine, and I'll remind Brett and all other councillors that you are always welcome to help out in proposing items for the agenda. We very much welcome any work in that. Can't guarantee it'll go on, but certainly very receptive to proposals. And effectively, this work on country and territory names will like it's going to become an item as well.
Susan, we've squeezed you out at the end. I think we've got a pretty good update from you on list, but let me just give you a minute or two to just come up under 10.4 with any points you might like to make, even if it's just to flag what's gone out on the list. Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, for the EPWG finished the work on the framework document. We incorporated all the comments we received at the Singapore meeting and then submitted that to GNSO Council and the board. Marika and staff are working on the preliminary report. So I would just say read the framework and read the report. It'll be part of the preliminary report. And so that hopefully will go out for comment sometime in May, I think. Marika could speak better to that. But that's about it.
Well, thank you, Susan, and thank you for keeping that very brief and for the efforts. I confirm that Marika says more likely in June.
Okay.
In any event, it's clearly a track. All right. Well, as my clock goes to 00 at the top of the hour. I think we'll take that opportunity to thank you for a productive meeting. That was very useful. It felt like we had lots of time, but we ended up using what we needed, and so thanks for staying with us. And we'll, of course, pick things up on list and talk with you all at the next meeting in May. We can stop the recording now.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Jonathan. Goodbye.